Okay, then let's pray. Father, we do appreciate your goodness, Lord. We sang it, but Lord, we appreciate your goodness. We declare it. We remind ourselves, Lord, when things get tough and things don't go the way we'd like them to, Lord, we remind ourselves that you are good, Lord. We don't always see how things are going. We don't always understand, Lord, but as we'll see tonight, Lord, and as we have come to understand, Lord, you are good, and we believe you're good, Lord. And Lord, the goodness that you are is not really going to be that evident until your kingdom comes. Lord, we're for the most part, we've seen your good hand. You've done many good things in our lives, Lord. But for the most part, the goodness that you have for us, the goodness that you have in store, the goodness that is your very nature, has not yet really fully been revealed, other than through glimpses, Lord, small glimpses. But the earnestness of your goodness has been shown through the death of our Savior Jesus Christ, Lord. You spared nothing to bring it to pass. And Lord, help us, because all that we go through is for our good. All that we go through is bringing us to an eternal good that is beyond our ability to grasp. And it is simply beyond our ability to grasp, Lord. What we see takes up most of our energies, what we sense about us. But help us, Lord, as we struggle to live not according to what's seen or what's known, but according to what is promised, according to what is invisible, according to the few little glimpses that we see in our lives, Lord, as they do change, that there is coming a world in which there is peace and joy and righteousness and endless, wonderful good. So, Lord, we do pray for Connie tonight, Lord, Pat's son's wife who's lost her mother. And Lord, it's hard to see good in those kinds of things. It's hard to see good when we don't see anything else, Lord, except what's around us. And there's somebody we love, someone we care for, and they're gone. And Lord, you will sense the despair that we go through. When Lazarus died, Lord, and you saw all those that wept for him, and you wept. I believe you were touched, Lord, with our sadness and our grief when one leaves, when we lose sight of one, Lord. But you were trying to convey something, Lord, that we ourselves haven't really wholly grasped, Lord. You are the resurrection. Everyone lives in you. Anything that's in you is alive. Forever. And with more life than just being alive. Pat's alive, Lord, but she's got hardly any life in her because she's got too many years, Lord, and her body's tired. And we aren't as old, Lord. We're tired, and we don't have that much life left in us, Lord. But the life that you have is full, Lord, and it will extend into our bodies so that our bodies will be as full of the life as you are. We look forward to that, Lord. So we pray somehow, Lord, you would give Pat and Jeannie and others, Lord, some insight into the fact that there's no loss here, Lord. There's no loss. The mother is gone, yes, but she's not gone. She's still in the spirit realm. She still exists. We'll see her again. There's time coming when all who are in the grave will come forth, Lord. It'll help us to keep our eyes fixed on that which is eternal, that which is coming. Because, Lord, we don't have any really hope in this life. Our hope is not in this life, Lord. Our hope is in the life to come. If we put our hope in this life, Lord, we'll lose it. We'll lose it. And yet you're asking us to put our hope, put our affection, put our heart's affections, you put our treasures, put everything into a life that we can't see, can't grasp, can't understand. And it seemed like it'll never come. And yet, as Pastor said Sunday night, it will. It will. And it's not that far away, Lord. It's really not that far away. So help us tonight, Lord. Raise us up.
as we struggle under the oppression of a demon world, Lord, that are expressing themselves as much as possible because their time is short. And they will soon be confined to endless torment. They know it. They're desperate. Give us grace, Lord, that we would stand as lights and we would stand as rocks and we would not be moved. And in that endeavor, Lord, help us as we prepare for BE, which is coming in the next few days. Bless Diane, Lord, as she brings forth what you put in her heart. Help us, Lord, to go forward in life. Our heart's desire is life, Lord. And Lord, it seems sometimes the little things that we do and the little struggles we go through, they just don't seem to have any meaning whatsoever. Nobody's breaking the doors down to come and join us, and hardly anybody knows what's going on. And yet, Lord, you are bringing us to eternal life.
Amen.
You are bringing us to a being. What we are, Lord, is not what we shall be. And we cannot see what we someday will be, Lord, but you are bringing us to what we will be someday, Lord. We will be life. Even as you are life, we ourselves will have life within us, and we will be a source of life, endless source of life, so that everything we touch, everything we do, will be life. Give us hope, Lord. Hope. Not be discouraged. Give us insight tonight, Lord. Open our eyes. Let us see with faith. And let us not turn, Lord, from those things which bring life. God, help us. Help us, Lord. We're prone to run into the dark and hide like animals. Give us grace, Lord, that we'd be like Audrey said Sunday morning, Lord, we'd be like men and be battle ready, ready to fight. We have to fight. Give us grace that we fight this fight. Run this race, we pray. Bless each one that have come. Give us your word tonight, we pray, Lord. By your Spirit we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're talking about the church's favorite topic. Tithing and giving. And there are some underlying truths that carry over into all aspects of life. Because this whole area, you could call this whole thing giving or sacrifice, okay, is what our whole life is about, Yoni. What our whole life is about. While Beckman is up there enjoying himself and making his millions and is trying to bring soccer to the world front in the United States, when he dies 50 years from now, no one will know who he was. No one will remember or care. But 100 years from now, maybe, if we attain to the resurrection of the dead, the whole world will know who we are. And not because we're famous or because we're great, but because we will be the world's benefactors. Everything he does is for his own benefit. Nothing we do will be for our own benefit. We won't need to. We will have everything. So we'll give. Give, 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 give. We'll give universes to people if they like them. Because we have the ability and because we want to. And because it's in our heart like God. Is that a parable or what?
If we will give universes.
If we want to. There's a bazillion of them out there, and there have no end to them. And God could put planets on each one of the stars, and you don't have the foggiest how many galaxies there are, much less how many stars are in the galaxies. And in each one, he can have maybe two or three suitable for life. And in every one of them, human beings covering them. How many people is that? Without end. And of the increase
of his government there shall be no end. And we'll not be in a hurry to do it either. We can take forever if we like. It just goes out of the mind. Okay? Yes, bro.
I think the same thing. I believe that we would populate the universe.
Sure, why not? I believe we will, bro. I believe we will. Not us, but we will be reproducing Christ in others. And on and on. All right. But it has a lot to do with how we deal with these little nasty things of Christian disciplines. Because it's a nasty world we live in, Pat. You should know. You've been in here a while. It's a nasty world we live in. The best of it is lousy. Okay? Now, a couple of things we talked about tithing that I want us to remember. Okay? Remember we talked about? Okay? Because a lot of time when you talk about tithing, what the first things people are going to say is, ah, bah, humbug. That's what?
Old Testament.
Okay? Meaning it's part of the law, right? Okay? So, what did we show? It may be Old Testament, that's for sure. But it goes past the law. Okay? It predates the law. This idea of tithing goes all the way back to the very beginning. Okay? Because the idea of giving God a sacrifice started with Cain, first human being ever born, started with Cain. Okay? And the second thing we learned from Cain was that a sacrifice that doesn't cost anything is not a sacrifice in God's sight. And that we got to get used to, Yanni. This life is not for us to grab. It's for us to give. We've got to live a life of sacrifice, and it's going to cost us. Okay, Jesus said, "Okay, how many of you will take a plow and not look back?" Okay, and then he said, "How many of you are going to go to build? What is it? Build a tower first. Before you build a tower, you sit down and figure out how much is this going to cost, right?" You find a field with a treasure in it, and you go sell everything you've got and buy that field. It's going to cost. Okay? So if in our lives there's no sacrifice to it, if it doesn't cost us anything, it isn't acceptable to God. We saw that with David. That's David's... What was David's... standard operational procedure, so to speak? Okay, that was his M.O. Okay, so now New Testament talks about giving. New Testament really doesn't talk about tithing. Why do I talk about tithing? Why do I talk about tithing? Why do I think we should train young people and new people in the Lord? Why do I think we should train ourselves as a part of a Christian discipline in tithing? Why? Why? Does anybody want to give me a reason why?
There's many reasons, I'm sure, but one of them that I can think of is it's like an act of obedience.
Well, it's like an act of obedience, okay, but if it's going to be an act of obedience, then you would probably want a thou shalt tithe in the New Testament, right? Wouldn't you? Can you find one?
No.
So you're going to have to look somewhere else.
Giving is plainly in the New Testament, and the tithe is merely a discipline of giving.
I like that. Did you hear that? Yeah, you ought to hear the little wisdoms this guy gives all the time. He synopsizes, however, he gives little synopsis of things. When he comes in, he'll say, "Now let me see if I got this," and he'll say in 15, 20 words what you spend all night saying. Okay. So after the service tonight, say, "Okay. What did he say, Mark?" And in about 15, 20 words, he'll tell you what I said all night, okay? Say it again.
No.
Nice and loud, because they can't hear you in the back. You picking that up on the overhead? Here we go. Tape land.
Yeah, basically giving is clearly in the New Testament. And the tithe establishes a discipline or a system of giving.
Is a discipline. Okay. Yes, it's a discipline. How many of you ever raised an animal? Everybody raise your hand. You're living with one. You're encased in one. Okay? So if you've never trained a dog or a cat or a horse or whatever, you haven't got the joy of understanding that you've got to discipline animals or they are unruly. Now, I understand most of you have little doggies and you haven't disciplined them and they are unruly, but you love them anyway, right? Okay. Doesn't work in the kingdom. Yes.
There's one thought to go through my mind and probably wrong, but did Jesus say what's due to Caesar?
Yes, that's a good idea. What belongs to Caesar should belong to Caesar, and what belongs to God should belong to God.
Yeah.
Yes. Render unto Caesar what's Caesar's, and render unto God. Well, no, that includes this. He's not talking about taxes. He's talking about everything. That's a thing of life. Okay, you obey the law because it's the law. Okay, and you obey God because He's God. So you give to God what is God. All right. I like the idea of tithing, and I believe in obviously as a discipline, because you have to discipline animals. And your body is an animal body, and it needs to be disciplined. And if you don't, it'll get out of hand. And you don't need to give it half a chance, because it's always looking for one, because it's an animal. Don't forget it. It's an animal you live in.
That's true.
And you got to keep it under. And disciplining is part of the way of keeping this animal in tow. And so you have to remind this animal all the time, you don't belong to yourself. And your money isn't yours. You just have to do that. Okay? So I do it as a discipline just because I think it's good. And one last thing that we said about tithing that I hope you get. It's not a religious duty. Okay? It's not a religious duty. It's not a New Testament commandment. I believe it's a discipline. Okay? But you've got to follow God. Because Mr. Letourneau didn't follow the rules. He didn't. He didn't give 10%. Mr. Letourneau. I told you about him last week and you don't remember him. But I do, because I used to mop and polish the floors of Letourneau Hall. And I know the story behind Letourneau Hall. Mr. Letourneau was a very wealthy man. He built big earth-moving machines, like a caterpillar. We're familiar with the caterpillar, but back east, they're Letourneaus. Same kind of machine, big earth equipment made by Letourneau. Now, he may not have that much left, I don't know, but it was big back in the 20s and the 30s and whatnot, okay? And Mr. Letourneau didn't give 10%. He said, I don't need this much money. I'll give 90 and live on 10. It's not a religious formula. You've got to follow God, okay? So be led by the Spirit. He may not have you tithe. And then he may have you tithe more than 10. Be led by the Spirit, okay? Remember, the purpose of the tithe was to... We saw that with the Levites. God established a tithe as a system to see to it that those who served for the word and for prayer were taken care of, their needs were taken care of. That doesn't change in the New Testament, okay? So there is not a law on tithing, but there is the need for giving. And so we're going to talk about giving. Okay? In the New Testament, there is giving. Let's look at, I got a lot of verses for you. Ready? Luke 6:38. You'll hear this verse often quoted. It's especially quoted by the name it and claim it people and the seed faith people. Have you heard about the seed faith people? Where the idea is you give God $10 and he'll give you $100 or $1,000 or whatever. And you put your seed in there and you get back because of this verse. Okay, and it says, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and they will pour it into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. I want to submit to you that this is not just talking about money at all. If you look back before the verse before it, he's not talking about money at all. He's talking about judging, meaning that you give. In other words, don't judge people wrongly, but give. Be generous. Be kind. Give. And it will be given back to you. You think kindly of others, and other people will think kindly of you. You be judgmental of others, they'll be judgmental of you. Okay? It does mean money, but money's only part of this whole thing. Giving is only part of this whole thing. Okay? Your life and my life don't belong to us. All right? And so giving is only one aspect of our entire lives, because it's the God of America, the chief main God of America, and the only God that Jesus mentioned by name as a false God, Mammon, because it's such a strong God, has a strong hold on us. And so we have a hard time with the idea of God can have so much and the rest is mine. Thank you.
It will pour into your lap.
Yeah, money.
From people to money.
Exactly. Instead of they will pour into your lap, it's it, right. So this verse means every aspect. Give and it will be given to you. Okay? Remember that, Yanni. In all ways. And it works both ways because it's sowing and reaping. It's like sowing and reaping. Whatever you give, you'll get back. You give kindness, you'll get kindness. You give grief. It's the way it is. Okay? Matthew 5:42. Because I'm down here, I don't have that little prompter, that little monitor, so I have to turn pages. Give to him who asks you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. This is Jesus talking of how we are to be perfect. And in some of these ways, you'll see some of these things are beyond your ability to handle that Jesus gives us. Because it comes down to the bottom line. Look at verse 48. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Easy, right, Tony? Let's be perfect. How many of you were perfect today? Now, I want to quickly say this, and then we'll go on. It is quite possible to have been perfect today. That's really not that difficult.
Yes.
It really isn't.
I agree.
Perfect by your and my standards? Never. But perfect by God's standard. God knows what he required of you today. If you did it, you were perfect. And Jeannie, his standards and his requirements are well within our capability. He doesn't, the silly song on the radio, I listen to the words of songs. I have this problem that I listen to the words of songs. So when people get up and say, you don't know what you're singing, I have a hard time with that because I do know what I'm singing. That's why I'm singing it, okay? But anyway, maybe some people don't, but I do because I listen. I'm very careful to the songs that I allow us to sing. Okay, because I want us to be able to sing songs that we should be able to sing with a complete and whole heart. There's not a lot of songs to choose from, by the way, including most of the old hymns. Okay. Nobody heard that. Okay. Where was I going? Perfect. Okay. Give to him who asks you and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. All right. This is the Lord telling us to give. And you've got to be led by the Spirit. That's all. Oswald Chamberlain. Oh, you see this guy's on the side, right? Homeless. You've seen him there for the last 4 years and you know where his RV is. Because you've seen him be in and out of it. Homeless. I'm not lying. I've seen his RV. I know he lives in an RV. My daughter knows him and his wife and where they live and where they park their RV. Homeless. I see him on the corner. I've seen him there for years. He moves from corner to corner, but I know him. Don't know him by... I even know him by name and his wife's name, because Rebecca, because they'd come into the store where she worked, you know, filtering through the trash. They're homeless, so to speak, in that they don't own a home. I don't own a home either, so I should have a sign homeless. Okay, I don't live in an RV, but I am homeless because I don't own a home. No, I'm not homeless. I have a home. All right, so what do? You give or you just go, bah? You got to be led by the Spirit.
Discernment.
You have to have discernment. And Oswald Chambers says, it's better to err, if you're going to err, it's better to be err on the generous side than on the stingy. So I give sometimes. Not always, but sometimes I do. Okay? And is it a racket? Yeah, probably, most of the time. And if you're worried, I'll tell you another thing. You're worried, what are they going to do with the money? I say, you're hungry? You want some food? I go over to right next there is a Wendy's. Here, here's a bag of Wendy's. Now, I know they can't get any drugs out of that, okay? You want some food? Here, it's a bag of there's a burger and some fries and a drink. And I'm worried about them going home and getting crack or whatever with it, okay? You got to be in prayer. You got to be in prayer. But you've got to have a generous heart. Don't allow the kind of stuff that goes on in our country to make us hard-hearted.
Whatever it says, give to him who asks of you. It doesn't mean whoever asks of you, right? Does it?
You know, Tony, you've got to be in prayer. When I used to be the foreman at work, and guys would need money, this is what I did, okay? When they needed money and I had the money, I gave them the money. I gave them the money. I didn't loan it. They would always say, I'll borrow it from you. Yeah. I gave it the money. Okay. I didn't tell them I gave them the money. I just say, okay, here it is. They always say they give it back. I do believe in every case they've given the money back. I never loaned it to a soul. I gave them the money. But I think in every case, they've given it back. It took one guy a couple of years before he gave it back. But in every case. Now, I understand that if you get the reputation of being the man for the handout, they'll line up out your door. I understand. You got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Okay? But God wants you to be generous. And one of the reasons why you do well is because you are. I know you'd like to think you're the greatest businessman in the country. And you and your wife are great at books. And you probably both those things. But the truth is, the reason why you do well is because you're a generous man. And because you do your best to serve God. And God blesses those kind of people, Tony. That's why you do well. And you do well to know it. And an ungodly man who doesn't go to church, if he will be generous, he'll succeed. Because God is that way. That's why your Jewish people do well. They loan without asking for interest. They take care of one another. The Mormons do that. We Christians say, I got mine, you go get your own. We're not where God wants us yet. Okay. Ephesians 4:28. I'm reminded of Brian Wagner. He lived by that. He never had enough money. But anybody that asked him for money, he gave it to him. And he never had enough time to take care of the things he needed to do. But if somebody needed a ride and he had to go south and they needed to go north, he'd take them north first before he went south. That's the way it was. I remember him. I would see him several times. He'd go, deep breath and let it out, because he was struggling with his animal body who wanted to do his own thing. And then he'd say, sure, and smile. Ephesians 4:28. Let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good. There you go, Tony. We're right there in the book. Performing with our own hands. What is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. And I want to say I have noticed that about this church. I think that is one of the reasons why this church does well. I've told you, the Foursquare knows about this church and thinks that we're full of rich people because it's known that we give a lot. We're not full of rich people, but we're full of generous people. And there are people here that don't have anything and they give away what they got. Okay? So the idea is to have enough to give to others. This whole idea of storing up yourself so that you can have investments and whatnot, you won't find it in the Scripture. The Scriptures talks against it. Pastors talked against it. But it's so hard. And I mean, you've got to be practical. And I have to struggle with it because I'm doing drywall and I'm 58. What am I going to do? I don't want to keep doing this until I'm 75. I don't. I'd quit today if I could. If I could. Today would have been my last day and I won't blink an eye. But it's not my lot in life, okay? So tomorrow I got to go back to the grind again, okay? But I wonder, I don't have to keep this up forever. So I have some money and I have some money saved, but I realize it's not my money. If God were to come along and say, okay, you know all that money you saved up, Stan? Yeah, I want you to do with it. I'd have to do it. It's not my money. And either he's going to take care of us or he ain't. 1 Timothy 6:17-19. Doesn't it rankle you though? Huh? I mean, that gets right down where we live, doesn't it? When we talk about our money, really rankles us. That's why I tithe. Huh?
I take back what I said. I've learned a lot. If I said by paying the bills first, and that works great, and it works the other way too. But whatever I have, I will give what I can back. So that actually the bills have no meaning to that in that respect.
True. True enough. 1 Timothy 6:17-19. Okay, and this is interesting because none of us in here think of ourselves in this context, okay? None of us do. Instruct those who are rich in this present world. We don't think of ourselves as rich, but how many of us have been to Mexico? Okay? Now I ask you, which one of the two of us, you or the Mexican, is rich? Easy question. You haven't been to the Philippines. You haven't been to Haiti. You haven't been to Uganda. You haven't been to Croatia. You haven't been to... I could sit here and name a lot of places. Matter of fact, it would be a lot easier to name... there's probably maybe 5 places I could name in the world that are richer. And there are places that are richer than us. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. Okay, now you see that instruction? Not to be conceited. We have to deal with that because we, in a sense, we are. And we're known around the world as the ugly American. Has nothing to do with our face. It's our conceitedness. And all you have to do is go to other country and view Americans, and you will be horrified. Because we are monsters. Or fix your hope on the uncertainty of riches. These are practical. I mean, this is just practical. This isn't something outside of our realm of capability. But put fix our hope on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Oh. You know, I've got to say, there's been some things that I have done in my lifetime that I have not been able to afford that I've really enjoyed, because God has seen to it that I've been able to do it. And God will do that. And another interesting thing is that there are, you and I don't really know what we enjoy until God shows us. One of the things I enjoy the most is the Filipino people. Only me, God, and the Filipinos know how much I enjoy that. Okay? And God's the one who supplies that. Instruct them to do good and to be rich in good works and to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves. And here's the thing that I was referring to in my prayer. Storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future. When we hear the future, and it's taught all the time, it just bothers me a lot when I hear preachers, big preachers, that everything is now, 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 now. The future is the future of my lifetime. Baloney. The future is after the resurrection. That's our future. How many of us have that constantly on our mind? We're getting there, aren't we? We're getting there more so, because it's the more we become real Christians, the more that becomes real to us, and the more it becomes something to look forward to, because a real Christian's current life is not all that hot. And I have a hard time with these preachers that are constantly preaching that we ought to be having a good time today. I don't think it's coming from the Holy Spirit. For the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Okay? This present world is not life indeed. This is the valley of the shadow of death. How you been here long enough? You've seen some good things. It's not that bad. There's a lot of good things that we've enjoyed, a long life, isn't there? But if you sit down and analyze and try to have hope for your grandkids, what they're going to have when it grows up, it's depressing. It's scary. Why? Because it's crummy. If our hope is here, we're in trouble. But I have hope for something I can't express. I can only transmit through the Spirit. I don't even try to get somebody to feel it. It's a thing that's transmitted by the Spirit. Only God can show us what's stored up for us. It says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for us. How many of you read the next few verses? We all think, oh, it's just way out there. It's just way out there. Because that's what it says. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has thought of. It's just way out there. The next few verses says, but the Holy Spirit reveals it to us.
Yep.
Holy Spirit reveals to us what's ahead of us. It's a hope. And it needs to be revealed to us, because we need to have hope to get through this present life. Okay, so be generous. 1 John 3:17 and 18. Does everybody still love me? 1 John 3:17 and 18. Got it? But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Now, when you see that, keep in mind, is it not referring to the fact that you see this guy standing on the corner and he says, out of work, whatever, and okay, because a lot of that stuff going on is, like I said, I know those guys on the corner. I've seen them year after year. My daughter got to know them, knows the RV thing they live in. I mean, they just choose to live that way, okay? He doesn't have work because he doesn't work. He scams. He makes his living that way. Yes.
Well, there's also a verse that says, help widows who are widows indeed.
Right.
It talks about if people don't work, they shouldn't eat.
Exactly. If people don't work, they shouldn't eat. Exactly. When it's talking about somebody in need, it's talking, I mean, there are people that are really in need. Okay, there's plenty of scammers, and you just can't tell who's scamming, who's not. Be in prayer, and if you're led, my thing is, if you're led to give, give, and if not, then don't have a guilty conscience, because a lot of it is just scamming. God will let you know if they really need. Okay, but it's talking about people who really have a need. He holds his brother, and he has a need, and you close your heart against him. The love of God is not in there. We're missing. How does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Okay? Meaning, if you really care, like somewhere else it says, be warned, be filled, go your way.
Yeah.
Okay? And again, this church is very good at that. We model that. Most of you don't know the giving that goes on. Most of us don't. Even in the council, we'll see there's a line item. It's called alms. And we'll see it'll come in and it'll go out. And that's about all we see. And we don't usually say, who is that for? Okay? We don't particularly want to know. But apparently somebody had a need. Somebody saw there was a need. And money was given. That's good. It's the way it ought to be. The right hand's not sure what the left hand did. So let's love with our actions. See, giving has more to do with just dinero. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 8. Now, if you want, I when I was in Bible school, because I had some prejudices, Having been taught from Pastor Thompson about never asking for money, okay, and that sort of thing, I had some prejudices, and I have to say they were prejudices. And we had to study 2 Corinthians, and you get into 2 Corinthians, and you'll find that there's three whole chapters devoted to giving in 2 Corinthians, chapters 8, 9, and 10. Talk about, and part of 11, and all talk about giving. Okay, so there is an aspect of giving and supplying the need for others. Okay, and it does talk. Pastor Thompson's correct, because if you want to read about giving, you want some real good stuff about giving, 2 Corinthians 8, 9, 10, and 11. Okay, it's a little lengthy, and you have to stay with it. You have to be in prayer, and you have to go back and look. Now, what does he mean by that? And try to go back and figure out and be in prayer. What does he mean by that? Because it's a long dissertation. And the basic gist of it is this. There's the church that he's talking to, this Corinthian church, who apparently had this good idea that they were going to supply needs for the church, probably in Jerusalem or somewhere else. Okay? They heard there was a need and they wanted to help. Okay? So not only did they decide to do this and start getting gifts together, but they spread the word around other churches, and so other churches in that area decided they were going to give too. Okay, it encouraged another group of churches, particularly in Macedonia, when they heard about it, to do the same. The thing is that the Corinthians church started this idea, but they were dragging their feet about getting it done. There's a whole lot of talk, but not a lot of do. But the other church in Macedonia not only talked about it, but did it. Following their lead. So they sent a real generous gift to those in need. Now Paul is coming back to these Corinthians and he's saying, okay, folks, now I've sent some of my dudes, Titus and some other guys with me, who happen to know you and know about this giving to the thing, because you all made it known that you want to give this gift, okay? And we've kind of heard through the grapevine that you haven't got the gift ready yet, and we don't want to be embarrassed, and we don't want you to be embarrassed. So we've come ahead of time so that you can finish what you started, because a couple things. One, they didn't want everybody to be embarrassed because the Macedonians had already given. And two, he said he didn't want it to be a thing of greed. In other words, he didn't want to feel like he was pulling an offering. He calls that covetousness. You'll see it if you read those chapters. He calls it covetousness. This idea of pulling an offering is covetousness. It is scriptural. It's demonstrated in these chapters. And Paul calls it covetousness. So if you want a scriptural word for pulling an offering, it's covetousness. Okay? So I thought it necessary to urge the brethren, so he's talking about these Christians in Corinthians, who would go on ahead of you. He wants these guys to go ahead and beforehand, and arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful gift. Okay, bountiful gift is a blessing. I want you to know that giving is part of blessing. There's a new song. I told you I listened to the words of songs. And I never did tell you the words of that other song, did I? I got started and never finished that story about the songs, the words. I listened to the words of the songs. I can't remember. But this new song you'd like, because the guy talks about blessing and cursing. Okay? And we have the power of blessing and the power of cursing. Now, it comes from an area that can get a little off. But there's truth to this. This whole idea of giving is a blessing. Okay? Like I told you before, God will bless those who are generous. God will bless those who are generous. Not those who go to church, not those who sit in the front pew, not those who have theological degrees. God will bless those who are generous. That's the way God is, because it's in God's heart to be generous, and He will bless those. He wants that known. Because He wants us to be generous. He really wants us to be generous. He wants us to give generously. Okay, and He blesses those who are. So it's a blessing. So this. When you see that bountiful gift, it's really a blessing, is the literal word for it. A blessing. That the same might be ready as a blessing and not affected by covetousness. He doesn't want them, when he comes there, everybody to decide to give money because Paul is there or because he's asking them to give. He wants them to do it ahead of time because they said they wanted to. Give according to what they have. We'll see that in a minute. Okay, look at the next verse. And here's another thing. Has nothing to do with, it does have something to do with money, but he's not referring strictly to money in this next verse. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. Okay? And we always think of this in terms of money. But it has to do with being a blessing. It has to do with just giving, giving, giving. Give of yourself. We have people who give. We have people who fix chairs here. Spend many hours fixing the chairs. That's a giving. People that take care of the grounds. That's a giving. People spend hours cooking for us. That's a giving. There's a lot of ways to give. It's not just money. And what it says is, if you're stingy in your giving, you're going to get stingy results. And if you're generous, you'll get generous results. That's the law of the kingdom. Just the law of the kingdom. Okay? You will reap what you sow. You sow stinginess, you'll reap. And I have seen this happen. I've seen people start in business with a generous heart and giving, and God prospered them. And I've seen them get hard along the way because business can be hard, and harden our hearts, and then they did not do well. Because God blesses those who are generous, and God is against those who are stingy. The guy who ended up in hell ended up in hell. The only one that we know of besides the Pharisees who ended up in hell, he ended up in hell because he was stingy. Okay? Let's look at verse 12. For if the readiness is present, and he's talking about you wanted to give this gift, okay? It is acceptable according to what a man has, not according to what he does not have. All right? What does this say about this? Verse 12? You got verse 12 there, bro? Chapter 8? You're in 9. Was I in 9 or chapter 8? Oh, I'm sorry. Chapter 8. 12. Okay. What does this say about your faith pledges? For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a man has, not according to what he does not have. What does it say about your faith pledges? Faith pledges are common. What is a faith pledge?
Yeah.
Give what you think God will give you. What are you willing to put out there? Show your faith. Give $100 a month. Give $1,000 a month. He will give two. And you write it down. Okay? And they do this all the time, and they get the... And it happens mostly to people who haven't got any money, and they're struggling with their bills, and they're telling, oh yes, I'm gonna pledge to give you $100 a month. They can't make the rent, but they're pledging to give $100 a month. What does this verse say about that? That the wanting to have them pledge the $100 is covetousness, and that they ought to give according to what they have. If they don't have it, what should they give? Nada. And if they have a need, what should happen? Should be given to them. That's why you've heard Pastor, not recently, but he used to say, if you need some, take some out. It's bondage. It's not right. But it goes on. It's according to what you have. Okay? It's according to what you have. Now, that doesn't mean that God will not, and God has and God does, gives people a vision. God gives people faith, and He has them. He had Mother Basilea buy some property she didn't have the money for. God will do that, but because they're acting on faith. Faith is the substance. There's substance. When you have faith, you've got substance. So there's substance. You can't walk on water, but you can walk on substance. Faith is substance. So when God speaks a word to you, I want you to buy this property, and then you buy it, whether you think you have the money or not. That's a different issue. But according to the giving, you give according to what you have. Right there. Not according to what you do not have. He's talking about the general idea of giving. Yes, bro.
So when God tells you to buy the property and you don't have the money, you know it's God, then the faith is not in the fact that you will be able to get money to pay for the property. The faith is in God, that He'll provide whatever it needs.
Exactly. The faith is that you heard from God and this is what God wants and He'll have it happen. Exactly. Because He can have it happen a lot of different ways. Not necessarily give you the money. They might turn around and give you the property for all you know. Right. The faith is in that God has spoken. And God will do what He has spoken. People use that idea of the faith like that so to get more money. It's covetousness. Okay, in verse 13. For this is not for the ease of others and for your affliction, but by way of equality. All right. What does that mean? I told you you're going to have to read this. Look at it. For this is not for the ease of others and for your affliction, but by way of equality.
All right. When you read, yeah.
Kind of what it says to me is that when you give, or this idea of giving what you have, is not for necessarily making someone's life easier. And it's also not necessarily for, okay, if I give, I'm going to suffer. So if I'm suffering for God. So because I'm suffering for God, you know, great move, you know, it's a great thing.
Right, exactly. It has to do with this idea of blessing. Okay? This idea of blessing. The purpose of their giving to those who were in need was so they could be a blessing to them. God wills. Remember when Esther was the queen and she was going to Mordecai and going, you know, they could kill me for this. What did Mordecai say? Mordecai say? He said, God will raise up deliverance for Israel. Now, who knows whether or not you came to this place so that it would come through you. But if you don't choose, God will raise it up some other way. God will take care of his people. You get the blessing if you participate in it. Otherwise, God will take care of his people and someone else will get the blessing. It's not to put you in a hard place. And so, you know, and it's not for their ease. It's for the blessing. Like you said, it's for the blessing. The idea of participating and helping is a blessing. It changes us. We're animals. We're gimme, gimme, gimme animals. It's all for me, all for me, all for me animals. And when we do that which is contrary to our Adamic nature, it's a blessing. So the purpose of this is not for the ease of others. God will take care of them. And it's not, huh?
For the ease for our affliction.
Or, yes, or for your affliction so that you can go around saying, oh, aren't I a great Christian? I haven't got a dime to my name, but every dime I get, I give to someone else. Okay? That goes nowhere. It's not for that. It's for the blessing that you participate in and they participate in. Because when we give to others, they're blessed. And you're blessed. And it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Yes, bro.
You know, the thing that just occurred to me, too, or just became apparent, I think, it is talking about money, but it's talking about so much more. Because
money.
If we have something to give, life within us in a particular area, we give it now, and then we have to be in a position to receive it from that person we give it to when they have that abundance in an area we don't. And it jumped out at me because of that word supply, and it just reminds me of every joint of the body supplying.
Right, because when you read the next verse, at this present time, your abundance being a supply, okay, you can take that abundance in a lot of different ways. We're thinking in terms of money, your abundance of money. But then your abundance of the joy of giving, your abundance of the spiritual gifts. He's talking to the Corinthians who had everything. They were already kings for crying out loud, right? Paul said, boy, I wish I was one too. Because if it was true, we'd be in a kingdom already. But we're not there. Okay, your abundance being a supply. So it doesn't necessarily just mean money. At this present time, your abundance being a supply for their want. And that their abundance, what abundance? They're the ones that haven't got money. They're the ones who have need. What abundance do they have? That their abundance also may become a supply to your want. So we're not just talking money. Spiritual blessing. Okay? In that sharing, because they had a physical need or a financial need, it was a blessing that they had, so to speak, a storing up of a blessing so that those who gave would be blessed because they gave. They had an abundance of blessing to give because they had a need.
They have abundance of need?
Yeah, they had an abundance of blessing because they had a need. You don't see yourself in an abundance of blessing because you have a need. You see yourself in a great need of blessing. But the one who gives is blessed. More than you who got. And he gets it because he gave it. Okay, it may become a supply to your want and that there may be equality. Okay? Equality. I'm running out of time and I haven't run out of verses. We already did the sow, give generously, sow and reap, right? So I got one more verse. Two, three, four verses. We'll go to Matthew real quick. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. One last little practical thing. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Again, we have people in this church that live by this. Okay? They live by this. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Pat, this is all has to do with what we're going to get when we come into the kingdom. Because there's going to be people who are wealthier than this world now who are going to come into the kingdom, paupers. And there are people who haven't got a dime to their name who are going to come into the kingdom full. When therefore you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. This is an important principle to remember with God. Okay? It's like that house that you were walking out of at 4:30. It's already late. And just as you're going out and you've already got everything put away, you notice, oh, for crying out loud, way up there, 16 feet high is a problem. It's 4:30. It's 16 feet high. I've put everything away. Now, the only person who's going to know that is God. You drag everything back out, go up there, take care of that problem. Because if you did it right, nobody will ever know it was there in the first place. The only one who knows is God. It's what we do in secret that counts. When nobody's looking. And it's not that God's up there going like this, Yanni. Okay, what's he going to do? Believe me, there is somebody up there doing that. It isn't God. But there is somebody. He's got people who do that. Okay. There's these angels that go around that have these magical powers that whoever they touch falls down. And then they have this other angel that goes next to him and it writes it down. Okay? Everything being written down. You have an angel assigned for your life. Now, I don't know where he is, but he's inside the building here because he's not far away. He's writing down. Yanni wrote notes. He's impartial. He doesn't care. He's just writing it down. He's just very factual. Just the facts, ma'am. Nothing but the facts. And you're writing them all down. Facts. Just the facts. Okay? And what God wants is for you and I to realize that what we're doing is not for what we can get out of it, even in terms of the kingdom. If I sow abundantly to the kingdom, I'll reap abundantly from the kingdom. We will reap abundantly. But he wants us to sow abundantly. He's speaking to me and I'm not sure what he's saying. Let's pray. Father, there's something you're saying to us tonight. It has to do with your kingdom. It has to do with your kingdom, Lord. It has to do with sacrifice and giving. It has to do with what we can't see yet. It has to do with being a blessing. It has to do with being transformed. We live in animal bodies, but you're giving us opportunities through things like giving. You're giving us opportunities to become something other than an animal. You're giving us opportunities to become sons of God. Because God gives. He doesn't give because he's going to get back. He gives because he has, and he just gives because it's in his heart, because he loves, and he just gives and gives. And you want to make us like that. And you want to give us enough to be able to give like that. And you're saying, don't play tit-tat with me. Don't play ping-pong with me. Just give. Give, give, give. Just realize that I am God and that whatever you waste on my behalf will be rewarded to you in ways that you cannot fathom, because I will make you life. I will make you life. Whatever we lose for your sake will not be lost. Lord, help us to make that transition, because we're in a particularly stingy society, Lord. And we give a lot to the rest of the world, but we give out of our abundance and we give for a profit. And that's not your nature. So help us here tonight, Lord, to make that transition, Lord, in giving. To just give, Lord. Give of everything. Paul said, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. I'm just being poured out. Lord, sometimes I feel it. We're just being poured out. And it just gets dumped on the ground and that's it. The earth swallows it up and it seems like it goes nowhere. Help us to realize that nothing is wasted in you. That in our being poured out, life is being credited to us in the heavenlies. Life in abundance. And there'll come a day when we'll raise from the grave life-giving spirits. Give us insight, understanding, hope, and joy towards that end, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.